Hey, Tom.
Hey, JC.
How's it going, buddy?
I feel more awake than normal. I don't know why.
Maybe because the sun is out while we're doing this.
It's very bright.
So everyone has now left work on their Thursday, and they're looking at their phone and they're like, "Oh, I got some new podcast downloaded." What?
Yeah. It's no longer that 1 a.m. delight.
Yeah, we are your afternoon delight.
I set that up and I didn't even realize I set that up. Subconsciously rolling with that.
It's a good joke. I like it. I'm down with it.
We've already got a name for our Potter this
week.
Yeah,
look at that. Done off the top.
If we haven't done that one already.
I don't think we have. I'll have to check back in the archives.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Anyway, we got kind of a packed show today. Surprisingly, as always, WWE heavy.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's because it's the new era, Tom. Things, they are changing.
So many things.
Yes. We have a new main event for the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Somebody was half naked on Raw. I should have finished that sentence.
Aren't most people, generally, most professional wrestlers half naked?
Yeah, but not backstage. I don't know. Okay.
Do they wear more clothes backstage?
Sometimes.
You would think that's...
Unless they're Randy Orton. It's just pants.
Are they female-type people?
Yes.
Oh, well, then that's different.
We have people asking for releases, apparently. Rumor has it.
Oh, rumors. Rumors are fun. Rumors are half of wrestling.
We have... While people are trying to leave, there are people that just showed up backstage.
Because, you know, sometimes you just want to work.
Vince is investing in Jeff Jarrett's new gold scheme and putting them on white leather.
Ooh, like white leather title belts type thing, intercontinental titles.
Made with some of that Global Force gold, my friend.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
So, yeah, and then we'll finally get to our awards.
If we have enough time.
We will have enough time. There's a lot to talk about, but I don't think
any of it. You said there was a packed show.
It is, because we're packing the awards in. I'm packing those awards in there tight, Tom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And TakeOver happened, too. UK TakeOver.
Yeah. All right. I should have watched that.
All right. Maybe we don't cover that this week.
Go ahead. We'll see.
Delete that off this rundown here. All right.
I can fake it pretty well.
All right. Is he ready to do this? Let's jump in.
Yeah, let's just do it.
I need you to do me one thing first.
What's that?
Ring that bell.
We'll do, son.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Oh, buddies! It's another Cheaters Never Pin podcast. My name is JC, and here next to me at the commentary table to the stars is my good buddy, Mr. Workrate, Tom.
Good to be here as always, JC.
You called me son.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
I don't either.
You know.
It was weird. I heard that and I was like, well, I've already pushed play on the intro, so I'll have to we'll circle back to this.
Well, we'll just roll with it.
Yeah. All right.
It seems appropriate that, you know, I'm considered to be old in some way, so we'll just do that way.
Okay. All right, we'll roll with it. Sure.
I don't think technically... No, I mean, from an actual mathematics standpoint.
I was going to say, are you trying to figure out if you could be my father?
Well, I know that you're not. But...
Well, yeah.
But let's just say that it's not possible.
Yeah, it's just easier that way. All right. Yeah. Here we go. It's a new era in the world of wrestling entertainment. I said in the, because I was going to end with Federation, and then I realized that's not a thing.
Is it an undisputed era, though?
No. It is. Oh, it is not.
Oh, okay,
that's in NXT.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Let's see where you. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I like the way he says it. Oh, yes. Sorry, I just got to throw IT crowd references in.
Okay.
Especially since I know that's something you haven't watched.
I've watched the first two episodes and was like, I can't watch this show. It's not for me.
It gets better.
That's what we say about a lot of things. I was told that about Game of Thrones.
Oh, I've never seen Game of Thrones.
I was told that about Harry Potter movies or books.
I've read all the books. I've seen half of the movies, I think. I can't watch movies.
People told me that.
They're too long, I don't have time.
I'm the same way. People told me that about Breaking Bad.
Nope, never saw that.
Yeah. So, whatever.
Watch wrestling.
I just watch wrestling. And if I'm not watching wrestling, I'm watching Grey's Anatomy. I can admit that on the show. Don't care. Whatever.
It's no Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Did you know Grey's Anatomy's fake though? It's crazy.
It's real to me, damn it.
So there's a new main event for the Royal Rumble. That's not the Royal Rumble, because that's obviously the main event.
Which means it's going to lead off the show.
I assume they structure it the same way as they did last year and have the women lead off and the men close. I thought that worked really well.
Well, if we're doing it like it seems that we're doing some of these shows, then wouldn't the men lead off and the women close the show?
I mean, is there anything that could potentially happen in the women's Royal Rumble that would be like, whoa, crazy? Who'd have thought? I don't foresee that this year. And it's not the first one. So
no, and I'm always holding out hope that we get surprises in the Rumble, and you're generally not going to get that from the Women's Rumble. Nothing personal against the Rumble, but the Men's Rumble, I mean, with contract situations and all these rumblings of things supposedly happening, it's always possible that you could see somebody come into the Rumble that hadn't been contractually with the company before the show.
Yeah. Like last year, it made sense to have the Women's Royal Rumble close. It was the first one, and then Ronda debuted. Cool. This year, I'm just like, I don't think they'll have all the legends and everything like they had last year, right? I mean, I'm sure there will be a couple, but it won't be to the extent it was last year.
Did they have legends last year? Oh, you mean with the women, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, the Men's Rumble was kind of, I mean, outside of Shinsuke, that was last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with outside of him winning, that there wasn't that much drama involved in the Men's Rumble.
Well, and with the men's this year, there's only, I did the math the other day, I forgot, there's only 6 or 8 spots technically left.
Oh, yeah, I normally break that down. I've been slacking.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the headliner that is outside of the Rumble matches themselves is no longer Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman, because Braun Strowman destroyed Vince McMahon's limo in the hunt for Baron Corbin. So it's Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar. Tom, why is this the greatest main event to ever grace a WWE pay-per-view?
It's funny that you throw that to me when I just kind of shrugged. It was like, oh, cool. Finn's in the main event. Is he going to be injured the following day?
Why is this the greatest day in the history of our sport, Tom?
I was trying to figure out why you exploded, like on Twitter and on our text thread. Because I wasn't watching the program live like you were.
I figured I was getting silence back because you and Mike and Derek were all like, eh, or whatever, it's Finn.
I'm just pretty sure I was probably asleep at that point.
Let JC have his moment here.
But at 6 o'clock the following morning, and I was looking through that, and I went, oh, that must have been good day for Finn.
Finn having a big weekend. That was a big few-day period. Shows up to NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool, takes the place of Travis Banks, and defeats Jordan Devlin, his former mentee, right? Protege. Flies back, comes to Raw, wins 2 matches in one night, Tom. So many odds stacked against him, and yet somehow he emerges victorious, beating Jinder Mahal.
And managed to stay healthy through the entire event.
It's so rude.
Well, I was just more referring to the fact that haven't you in the past mentioned how Jinder Mahal is a unsafe worker? And
I don't think I've ever called Jinder unsafe.
You sure?
I can't think of an example. He's not Nia Jax. He's not Elias. He's not Seth Rollins. Bret Hart can tell you about that one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so, but
yeah, I think that's a huge kind of shakeup, right? Especially when you start Raw off with the entire segment, or not starting Raw off, but the top of the second hour, when Vince comes out, then Cena comes out, and then Drew, and then Corbin, and then Finn. And Vince, you know, basically kind of dresses down Finn, you know, in a shoot manner. When Vince talks like this, he's shooting, you know. Yeah, you get the agility and the speed, but you're small. I don't think you stand a chance.
I mean, is it almost like the repackaging of the Daniel Bryan authority angle, where Triple H is basically calling Bryan the B-plus guy or whatever? And
you know, I thought about that, but I don't even think it. To me, it doesn't feel like that, because I don't really feel like Vince was doing it from the place of being a heel in this situation, as much as he was like, this is my opinion.
And I guess you can kind of more get away with that, is you don't necessarily have, I mean, Triple H kind of fell into that, especially at that particular time, that's something that both those things kind of worked, because those were the reputations those guys had. You had Triple H that kind of was the belief that smaller, non-charismatic guys aren't going to work. So that's the belief that was put in the play during Daniel Bryan's rise. But at the same time, the belief, at least the smart belief, was that the shine had worn off of Finn Balor, mm-hmm. that he was a smaller guy, and you know how Vince loves beef. And here's a guy that's, you know, 210 pounds if he's lucky. That, I mean, has all those other characteristics to him, but he's not, you know, he's just been kind of floundering around because his initial push got killed because of the injury that he went through. And then when he came back, it seemed like more so they weren't really sure what to do with him.
Right.
Because they had momentum with him. I mean,
The rocket was strapped to him the moment he got called up.
But I mean, even when he got hurt and he came, you know, he was out, they had the whole, what was it, the 365 or the 24/7 or whatever the thing was about his rehab and getting back to where he needed to be and all that, and the build up. And it, like, if you watch the network, you could get that. They could have done that build on the regular show too.
Yeah.
And they just, well, it wasn't his time, I guess, and timing's just one of those unfortunate things in the company as it is too. So, I mean, over the years, a lot of people's pushes could have, like, certain wrestlers, had they been there at, you know, 2 years earlier or something, their careers could have gone in a completely different place. But because of timing, you don't necessarily get that push or able to grab that brass ring or whatever and break out like you always should have, I guess, or what was expected of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think had he not been injured, I'm very interested. Like, there's a lot of thoughts you could have on how long he would have held that Universal title. But I don't know. But now is the time. Now does he win the belt off Brock? Who knows? I mean,
who knows what the hell they're doing with Brock in the first place?
Right.
I mean he's still not going to be a regular performer, and the belief was that he wasn't necessarily needing the belt because he was going to go to UFC, but is he even going to UFC now? I mean,
well,
that
Brock,
window's got to be really tight, because
Brock still can't be sanctioned in Nevada because he still owes $150,000 fine to INSAC. So if he fights, he can't do it in Nevada or any commission that has reciprocity with them.
And as we know, Brock Lesnar, no money.
Oh, he's poor.
Yeah.
He certainly has not played Vince McMahon and Dana White for the last 10 years. But anyway, it's an interesting, big, interesting change. And it's kind of hard to gauge what's going to happen right now, but the next 2 weeks, as we get closer to the Royal Rumble, we'll certainly have a better idea, I think. We hope.
We hope, I mean.
But then it also leaves, like, the question of, and of, you know, again, with 2 weeks left, they haven't had a clear Rumble kind of favorite emerge. But I think whoever emerges in that position can tell us a little bit about that match and vice versa. Because, you know, common belief would have it that the main event of WrestleMania was going to be Seth and Brock. Because Brock needed to main event another WrestleMania. That's the only way you're going to sell tickets, folks. Don't know if you know this. But with Finn in this position, you could have a Finn Seth WrestleMania main event.
So that's why you put the Men's Rumble on last.
Yeah.
Because if you put that on earlier, then you're basically predicting the outcome of the Finn Brock match.
Mm-hmm. Especially if there is a title change. If you have the title change and then the Men's Rumble is last, oh boy. That becomes an exciting Rumble.
Yeah, because it could be anybody at that point. Because, I mean, we've had face versus face.
Right.
You could, I mean, theoretically, you could also have Finn turn in that devilish heel, Balor Club type grouping, which we've been dying for the last 2.5 years.
Prince Devitt could come back.
Yes. But yeah, you could go that way. You could go traditional heel versus face route, and you're not having any size issues. Where if you're going against Brock, you generally want a larger person to face him. I would think. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, we'll see where it goes. I'm very happy. Then they re-released the official poster. And it's just Finn and Brock's face. And I was like, yes. Put it in my veins. Let me go to a flop house and enjoy this.
Now, see, the thing that I see on Wikipedia or whatever is the poster with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. So.
Yeah. No one counts. No one cares about that one. No one cares about two vanilla midgets. They only care about one vanilla midget and Brock Lesnar.
What flavor is Brock? I mean...
I feel like Brock is one of those good humor bars, the strawberry shortcake one. Because, you know, eventually when you get down to it, when you get to the business part, it's real red in the middle. But it's that, like, weird, grainy, opaque, kind of brownish-white texture on the outside. I stretched for that joke. Could not make it work.
And yet, now I'm craving a toasted almond bar, which... for whatever reason, you cannot get in this state.
Yeah, I've never even heard of those.
No.
The only two good humor ones I've ever seen are the strawberry shortcake and the chocolate one.
The chocolate eclair.
Yeah.
All right, so being a natural northerner, good humor bars were always in grocery stores and in ice cream trucks and all that type of thing. But you could get the strawberry shortcake one. And I remember the chocolate eclair. I don't know if they're still like this. I don't think so. Actually had like a chocolate piece, like a hard chocolate piece in the middle.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
So that was a thing at one time. But my favorite were, they were just toasted almond bars. It was like vanilla type ice cream with like an almond kind of outside texture. And for whatever reason, like in later years, they kind of had that. Again, the different color in the middle, like the strawberry shortcake has like the pink in the middle or whatever. This kind of had like a almond type color in the middle, but yeah, they're really good. But for whatever reason, like they used to sell it. It's the same box,
mm-hmm.
but they don't sell them here.
Yeah.
But if you go to a grocery store, if you go to a Stop and Shop in like New England, for whatever reason, they're there.
Huh.
Like, are they just not appealing to people in the Southeast. I don't.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's ice cream.
Yeah.
There's like 47 different varieties of just Bluebell. They can't have a third Good Humor bar.
Yep. True. Well, speaking of vanilla midgets that no one wants around anymore or can't find, the Revival has apparently asked for their release.
I like how we piggyback the Finn Balor thing with the Revival. Like,
Tom, why is this the greatest day in the history of our sport?
Because you hate wrestling.
I love wrestling. I just think they have the charisma of a Good Humor bar.
They're not there to entertain you with, like, mic play or anything,
Tom,
like that.
Tom, buddy, like, all right, this is where I have to stop you, right? This is, okay. Like, if they leave and they go to New Japan, like, great. Good for them. I might like them then. They'll fit in. They're in WWE, where it is about the entertainment and the total package.
Do you enjoy them in NXT?
No! I didn't. I have never enjoyed the Revival. Like, I admit the classic matches they had with Gargano and Ciampa, like, those are incredible matches. But I do not care about them. They add nothing to my enjoyment of the WWE product. If they're missing, nothing changes for me, and nothing changes for the entire company. They're not making any money. They don't draw. No one's going to be like, shit, I got to buy my WWE tickets to see the Revival.
I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, but I mean, you need to have guys like that in the company to make your other guys look good.
But they've got guys in the company that can work just as well, that can at least, like, that have the charisma and the entertainment piece.
Like,
you call up, if you brought Mustache Mountain to the main roster today,
so you'd be okay with having Mustache Mountain come to the main roster and job out 70% of the time?
No, they wouldn't job out.
Okay, so no one can lose matches then?
No, I'm just saying wins and losses need to matter, right? If you're going to have somebody lose a lot, you've got to have that redemption story. They're just having them lose to lose because nobody cares about them.
And whose fault was that? I mean, they actually had a build.
Go out there and get yourself over.
They had gotten themselves over, and then, similar story.
They've never been over on the main roster.
They beat the snot out of the New Day, had a whole story going for them. One of them gets hurt, and then we lost pretty much the story.
Stop getting hurt! Be better. Be stronger.
Okay. It took Finn 2.5 years for that. Congratulations.
Hey, now. That's not fair.
If people stared at Dash Wilder's junk while he, like, oiled himself in baby oil and leaned against the ropes, then maybe the Revival would have gotten a second chance.
Well,
maybe. We move on.
Also reportedly asking...
I'll jump on your belly off the top rope.
Devastating.
I make you poo yourself, mate.
He doesn't say mate. He's from Ireland, not Australia.
Same thing.
No, oh God. Mike and Maria Kanellis apparently also asked for their release, per rumor and speculation from Pro Wrestling Sheet. Good on them to work the system. Hey, let's go sign a contract so you can go to rehab. I can have a baby. And then we can get the hell out.
Got to get those bennies somehow.
I love it.
Like, seriously, it's kind of odd how that worked. Like, you know, when you were doing independent stuff, you never would have had that kind of insurance or benefit plan or anything like that. Nope. And we rip on WWE for not, you know, for still doing the whole independent contractors type thing. But, I mean,
they made it work for them.
Yeah.
Good for Mike and Maria. And I want nothing but the best, especially for Mike Kanellis.
And I mean, like, in theory, they could stick around and continue to make their paychecks, and there's no obligation for the WWE to let them go.
No, Mike can leave. He can go back with Matt Taven and ROH. All will be well. ROH needs some talent.
Yeah.
They got Bandido.
They got to send somebody to the... They got to send somebody to the Charlotte New Japan show, so I have absolutely someone to watch on that show that isn't goddamn Young Lion.
Yep.
Yeah, nothing but enjoyment for me to see my New Japan tickets and be all super excited that I'm going to get to see New Japan and realize that in Sapporo, 6 hours later, every single member of like the New Japan roster is wrestling there. Like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. Like, how you? I'm kind of glad I. Yeah.
Like, and I understand it's a whole concept of, well, a lot of these are going to be dojo guys, and they'll throw like they've had a couple of names banted about. Like, I think Ishii's not on the card for Sapporo. Mm-hmm. Yuji Nagata is supposedly going to be there, which would be cool to see Yuji Nagata. It'd be cool to see any of these guys. I mean,
yeah,
just saying, Liger's not on that Sapporo show.
Right.
But
your Okada, Tanahashi, Naito, Evil Sonata.
I mean, it's like the bad old days of WWF when you'd have they'd have three touring groups.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you'd hear WWF is coming to your area, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get to see the Macho Man, a Hulk Hogan, and, like, the show is headlined by, like, Tito Santana, and I don't know. Big Bully Busick. Yeah.
That's one good thing about the brand split, at least. It's, you know, there are two touring companies, and they are equal.
Three, if you count NXT.
True. I mean, they're not out every week doing big road show, right? So, yeah. Let's see. In the weirdest segment I think I've seen on WWE TV in, I don't know, a while. Probably since Stephanie McMahon vomited on Vicky Guerrero because Roman Reigns slipped her a Mickey in her Starbucks. That happened, folks.
I blocked that out.
Yep. We had a segment Monday night where a PA knocking on Alexa Bliss's dressing room door. She won't answer. He walks in. She's standing there, topless, holding her shirt across her chest.
As women are wont to do.
And then she's like, what are you doing here? Leave my latte and leave. And he does. And that's the end of the segment. What? I don't know why. Like, so I have, like, my biggest issue here is not that it's an objectification segment, right?
Like, which it is, but I mean,
it is, but you've got a roster filled with beautiful women. I mean, and they're going out there where, you know, very little anyway. Like, who the hell cares about that in the end, right? But my biggest complaint is just the why. Because there's nothing paid off about it. Now, here's what I was thinking was happening, and we'll get into this, kind of bridges into the next thing. If you look, if you go frame by frame, if you treat this as the Zapruder film,
and there are certain channels of Reddit that I believe have done this.
Oh, yes. But not in the way I have.
Oh, okay.
I've seen, trust me, I saw those corners of Reddit. But my corner of Reddit, on the chair behind her, there's a shirt and like a toque beanie, whatever you want to call it, hanging on there.
It's not a toboggan.
It is.
It is not.
It is.
A toboggan is a sledge. No, it's not.
Tom, you can have your good humor bars up there. You let me call it a toboggan.
We also had snow, so we understand what the things that actually ride on the slow are called.
Yeah, we don't have snow. That's why all of you move here.
I like the snow. Yes, we moved down here to see the frightened look on your faces when a snowflake hits the ground.
Yeah. Yet you stay and also help buy up all the bread, milk, and eggs to make eggy milk sandwiches.
It's French toast. Have you never made French toast?
When the power goes out, you can't make French toast. I'm so tired of that argument.
Why not?
How do you, are you doing it with, like, you're just holding a lighter under the pan? I don't think you could easy. I don't think
stoves,
you could,
right, Jason?
Okay, well, I don't have one of those. I've never lived
Maybe
in a place with a gas stove.
There's a decent amount of people that do.
All right, well, you know what? It's 2019. Stop fracking. Anyway, there's a hat on the chair behind her that is red and black, or yellow and black, which would match the typical outfits of one debuting superstar.
Jumping Jim Brunzel?
Nope. who managed to wander his way into a moment of bliss. That's Otis Dozovich. Tom, I think we're going to get an Otis Dozovich-Alexa Bliss affair segment storyline.
And is that what's going to bring
Buddy Murphy up?
Oh.
Otis versus Maybe. Buddy Murphy would be a freaking banger, dude.
That would be the eating ice cream with Doritos feud of all time.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so great. I don't know. That was just the thought I had in that moment.
I don't know what the hell they're doing with heavy machinery, but I don't know. This episode this week just reeked of Russo. Did it not?
I don't know. It was nice having the one continuous storyline. I don't know. I really liked this episode of Raw. The first hour was a little meh, but everything else was better. But I get where you're coming from, especially when you add the Alexa just being topless for no reason segment in. Not you.
You just bought more things.
We'll get to that. I don't know. So we had all the debuts. You have on Raw, you have Nikki Cross tagging with Bayley and Natalya against the Riot Squad. Heavy Machinery makes their in-ring debut Tuesday night against New Day. You have EC3 just randomly backstage all the time. You have Lacey Evans randomly backstage all the time. Tuesday night, you have Nikki Cross just screaming that she wants to play with Ray. I mean, I get the theory behind, like, all right, we're slowly introducing these characters to everybody, so everybody cares about them. Like, I'm kind of down for that, especially if they don't have a place for them in a storyline yet, which makes sense because we're building to the Rumble, and you don't want to shoehorn them in somewhere.
And I like the fact that they're on both shows. Like, yeah. we announced call-ups, and I think it was, I forgot who, I guess it was maybe Nikki that made the first appearance, so we're like, oh, well, Nikki's going to be on Raw. Well, no, not necessarily.
Yeah, when that match started, Michael Cole said that I guess all the call-ups are on both shows for a while, so they can be evaluated before they're offered a contract by either brand. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a very logical way to handle things.
Every once in a while, we kayfabe well.
Yeah. Except for Lars Sullivan, who's hiding somewhere in Colorado, apparently.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So the story goes, I guess he was supposed
to
debut.
You can't be racist nowadays.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different side of this. But I guess he went to Raw Monday night, had a panic attack, flew home, and just never reported again.
That's what happens when you're made out of like Minecraft.
What if that's
you it? Can't look at Lars Sullivan and tell me he does not look like he's like an 8-bit character.
He does. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're hiding him now to have him have plastic surgery to look like Minecraft.
Well, they're gonna have a Minecraft movie, so maybe you kind of
Oh yeah. WWE Studios presents Minecraft.
little cross branding.
Yeah. How has someone like this people to get like the crazy plastic surgeries to look like animals and stuff? How has no one had Minecraft surgery yet?
Just insert square pieces.
Right. It's been long enough that I feel like someone should have had it done.
Maybe we're just being protected from them.
Yeah.
Maybe the asylum got them all.
You know what isn't being protected?
What's that, Jason?
The sanctity of tag team wrestling. Because for the first time in a long time, I was going to say ever, but there were women's tag titles in WWF at one point. The women's tag titles will be brought back. And they will be determined not in a tag team match, but in the Elimination Chamber.
But I thought the teams would be in the Elimination Chamber.
Correct. So it'll be there'll be two women in a pod.
So it's an elimination match still.
But if one member gets pinned, they're both out.
Well,
but
I can think of worse ways.
If it's the first time, like, because we're basically shooting this angle, like, this is the first ever women's tag titles, right? So I'm just going to refer to it as that. You know, if we're debuting these titles for the first time ever, wouldn't you want to do it with a, like, tag team match?
Let's do it the New Japan way and just gauntlet the hell out of it.
So are you telling me every WrestleMania pre-show is going to be a gauntlet match for the women's tag team titles?
Bring back the WWE Rumble.
All right. Here's something we can bet on. Which titles will change hands more in the year 2019? The women's tag team titles in WWE or the never open weight six-man tag titles?
The answer is always never open weight.
Yeah, you think so?
Because they're changing hands right now.
As we speak. They're actually 24/7.
At a card happening somewhere in Japan at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Great. So yeah, we're getting the women's tag title. Well, we knew we were getting them, but now we know when. At the Elimination Chamber event in, what, 5 or 6 weeks?
So you've seen the belts, correct?
Yeah.
They look good. I like them.
I don't dislike them, but I'm not in love with them. Like, I still think the most beautiful belt they have right now is the North American Championship.
Yeah.
Followed closely by all the NXT UK championships. Because they're all basically the same design, just on a different strap. But
well, I like the fact that they're kind of thinking a little bit outside the box, finally. Again, like the North American title being one of the first ones. It just, we went through a period of time where every belt looked the same. There's like slightly different sizes, or, well, it's the US belts, we got to put a little flag on there somewhere. But I mean, I hated I liked the new or old, technically, but the current Intercontinental title belt.
Yeah.
Being basically the old Intercontinental title belt from the 80s.
I love that one. I'm still surprised they haven't switched the WWE Championship for a blue strap. I'm glad they haven't. Don't get me wrong.
Well, theoretically, that is the WWE Championship. It's not the SmackDown Championship. And the
It's the same with the Universal Championship.
It is, but... Well, yeah. I'd hold more in the Universal Championship if it were, I don't know, defended every once in a while.
Oh, it will be when Finn Balor is your new Universal Champion. That's right, kids. You'll be able to go to a house show and see the Universal Championship. Whoa.
And see, that's something that we want.
Yes.
So that's something I can get behind. That's why I can get behind Finn Balor as a champion, because it just means that Brock Lesnar is not champion, which he shouldn't be.
Nope. You know what else I can get behind?
What's that, Jason?
Buying cheap stuff online.
All right. How do we do that, though?
What are you going to buy? What do I need to buy right now? You know what? Valentine's Day is coming up.
Is it now?
Yeah, so I probably need to buy, like, flowers or cards or... A giant stuffed teddy bear? I don't know. I got the candy part covered, so.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I wouldn't trust buying candy online. That just sounds...
No, I mean, I wouldn't either. You want to have a full experience.
Yeah.
That stirs... Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're big into the Valentine's Day gifts, which, you know, are a scam to begin with. But...
Also, I mean, not only is it Valentine's Day, it's my birthday. So maybe you're out there shopping, being like, man, I gotta buy something to send to the worldwide headquarters, east, west, whatever direction I'm in. I don't know. To JC for his birthday. Just go online. Where do they need to go? How are they gonna do that?
I was just thinking that thought had never crossed my mind, but I guess if I were to do such a thing, or if I were telling other people to do that, because, you know, you've got friends that want to buy you gifts that actually have money. You would think you'd go to Amazon.com, but I would say that they were wrong. Wrong, I say. So you go to CheatersNeverPin.com.
Hmm. Yeah.
And right there on that webpage, there's the Amazon.com button. It's big and black and not necessarily shiny, but, I mean, it depends on how clean your monitor is. So you click on that button. And it brings you to Amazon.com, home of so many different things that you can purchase. Kitty litter.
Yeah. What?
Paper towels.
What?
Shingles for your roof.
What?
iPhone cases.
What?
Xbox 360 games.
What?
Terry Funk's biography.
Yes, you buy right on there. Just click it. You can get the audiobook too.
And so many more things. So you buy those things. You put those things in your shopping cart. You check out. You make your purchase. But if you went through CheatersNeverPin.com and you clicked on that Amazon.com button and you made your purchases that way, the big difference is a portion of that money that you spent doesn't go to Jeff Bezos or and his plan to take over the world.
It doesn't go to paying off his text messages.
Half of it does not go to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
But instead, it goes to your friends at Section 328 and Cheaters Never Pin.
Mm-hmm.
So do that. Go to CheatersNeverPin.com, click on the Amazon.com button, buy all the things that you want, and make yourself feel happy knowing that a portion of your spending, your frivolous, over-the-top spending that eventually puts you into piles and piles of debt, goes to us to keep this show running.
For sure. Right here at Cheaters Never Pin. Go to Amazon.com. Go to CheatersNeverPin.com, click the Amazon button, buy your stuff. All right. Well, you didn't watch Takeover, so we don't want to talk about Takeover then. We'll save that.
I was just going to throw out another thing, too, for just real quick.
Oh, yeah?
If you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, man, I'd love to advertise on a podcast and have Tom and JC do like a 15-minute ad read for me. Hit us up, man.
Yeah. Send us a message at CheatersNVRPin. We can be bought for as little as, I don't know, very little.
you name a price. We'll probably take it.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Weren't we supposed to be doing another ad read?
Yeah, I got to finish setting it up. Okay. There's been issues.
It's not ready yet.
It's not ready.
Okay.
Yes. All right, Tom. It's now 2019.
Really?
Yeah. You know that?
God.
Yeah.
It's almost like 2020 then.
Whoa. John Stossel going to be up in here.
Dr. D. David Schultz is going to slap him in the head again. That's a 1985 reference for y'all.
Is it? Yeah, it is.
85 or 86.
Something like that. So we have awards to give out.
Oh, yes. That's right.
For what we found to be our favorite parts of 2018. I am not feeling the excitement, Tom.
Ooh.
There we go.
Is that better?
Yes. So first we're going to do the awards that we picked, and then we're going to do the awards you nominated.
Which I don't know about, so
it's fine.
They're going to go as well as all the other things that we don't plan out.
It's going to be way more fun that way as you try to think through them.
Okay.
So let's start off first. Let's start off with our tag team of the year. Of course, this is from every promotion. So, Tom.
Am I going first here?
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually had a little bit of trouble with this because I love tag teams. I really do. And this was not exactly the year of the tag team, to me at least. So I went with probably the most successful tag team I could think of this past year. And that would be the NXT tag team of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, I like what the Undisputed Era have done, and I think it could have potentially been a bit of a hiccup to see when Fish got hurt. But, sorry, the Slack thread just went off and it just got totally distracted.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've enjoyed what the Undisputed Era have done, and Roddy just slid right in there, and they do good work. So, but yeah, this was probably the toughest one that I ran into, and I had a couple other possibilities, but it kind of clashed with other awards that I might potentially be giving out, so I went with that.
There you go. All right. Mine is probably the obvious pick. 2018 Tag Team of the Year is the Young Bucks. I mean, being the Elite, which is their child, rises to incredible heights. They're able to spin that off into their own promotion. They have their own show in working with Cody in September. Their body of work, of course, always great. Everyone loves watching Matt sell his back.
It's funny how we mentioned that, and it was like one of the first things in that match on July, January 4th.
Of course it was. I just feel like I have to give it to them.
Yeah, so. I mean, that was a thought, but I just...
Yeah. All right. Next up. Rising Star of the Year. Tom.
Am I going first again? Or
yes.
Am I going first for all these?
Okay. Sure, go ahead and go first on this one. I'll go first on the next one.
Okay. My rising star of 2018 was the Velveteen Dream. Because I got to watch him in person. So I got to see like all the things that he doesn't do like directly on camera, just like all that little stuff. I mean, if there's somebody who just has it, it's him. I mean, I know that WWE is going to screw it up somehow, but damn, it doesn't look like that they could with him. It just, he does everything extremely well. I mean, he's a good worker. He's great on the mic. And then just, again, all that kind of like little stuff that he does when there's downtime or when he's waiting for a tag and that type of thing. It just, he just does everything so, so well.
Yeah. I 100% concur with you. I am 100% on board. The Rising Star of 2018 in professional wrestling is one Patrick Clark, the Velveteen Dream. for all of those reasons. I mean, he was the most guy over when we went to NXT 2 weeks ago.
I was confused. I thought our friend Pat Clark was the rising star of 2018.
But if I could get Pat Clark into fantasy camp at CWF, I would love that.
He's athletic enough. I mean, you know, he does hockey, so why not?
Right? All right, next up. The female performer of the year for 2018. Tom, I'm going to give this one to Becky Lynch.
Are you now?
I am. I mean... Yes.
That must have been tough for you.
Yes, it was. But I, you look at the body of work this year. I mean, Charlotte had plenty of good matches, as much as I love her. But I, you know, no one was as over as Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can name anyone. I mean, if you want to get obscure enough and like hit like Joshi Wrestling or whatever, I'm sure there are other nominees that you could throw in there.
I consider putting, well, I guess now Io Shirai in there.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, you could look at the, I mean, if you want to look at the amount of work done in a short period of time, you can be impressed with what Ronda's done over this, like 9 months or so.
Yeah. But she's top five.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to take that away from Becky with all that she's done, like online and just wrestling in shows and how she's gotten the crowd completely behind her, regardless of how they tried to book her initially and then basically forcing the booker's hand. And whenever you can do that, that's just impressive.
Agreed. Tom. Your male performer of the year for 2018.
I bounced a couple of names back and forth in my head. And
it's tough this year.
I had one that I initially thought of, and I kept going, well, thinking of other possibilities, and I kept going back to the same name. So I'm just going to go with it and be the total Japan mark that I am and say Kenny Omega.
Okay.
No wrestler this past year had as many high quality matches. Like Kenny, you put Kenny in the ring with anybody except for maybe Toru Yano, and that was open to interpretation, but he got the best matches out of everyone, seemingly. And just between his charisma and his work rate, it just, I think he brought it to the table this year. And
so you say, maybe,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you say no man had quite the 2018 of Kenny Omega. Well, without one man, Kenny Omega would not have had that 2018. And that man is my 2018 Male Performer of the Year, Kazuchika Okada.
Okay.
Yep. Also watching his transformation this year, which fortunately ended. Fortunately, 2019, we're back to Rainmaker Okada. But Sad Balloon Okada, Emo Okada, also fun.
Yeah, I was curious as to where that was going to go.
And yeah, I'm glad it didn't.
I'm a little bit disappointed that it's gone away.
All right, Tom. Your 2018 Match of the Year.
So I have three.
Okay. Do you want me to go first on this one while you decide?
Well, there's a couple of qualifier, so it depends on how you want me to. No, I'll go with all three because I'll explain them.
Okay, all right.
Because you have the Kenny Omega Okada match from Dominion, the infamous 7-star match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of gets put onto its own level, and because I think that's the type of match that, I mean, it was this incredible match to watch. And I think it's on its own level. So it's like you have that and that was great and you put it off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I think, my favorite American match. So outside of the 7-star match, I have my favorite Japanese match and I have my favorite American match.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that. My favorite Japanese match, I'll lead into it that way, was actually one that just barely got in under the 2018. It was December 15th on Road to Tokyo Dome. It was Will Ospreay and Tanahashi taking on the Golden Lovers.
Mm, yeah, that was a good one.
I went into that match expecting, okay, you know, something cool. But, like, the new Ospreay combined with just the four of these guys, it was just, it made me love Ospreay and made me get excited about seeing him, like, in the future. And just all four of them were just off the charts.
Yeah.
So, and my favorite American match, though technically was not sanctioned, was
all right, it's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, the Takeover New Orleans match between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah,
just it told such a story. And I mean, you can do work rate all day long, but to be able to tell a story with a match just takes it to a different level.
I say I'd have put Almas Gargano over that one.
Okay,
that's a better match, but
I think we've had that discussion over
some adult beverages.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. I mean, it tells a better story. I mean, it's depending on what you want to classify, what makes a match great. Any given day, you go back and forth. Alrighty. My 2018 match of the year is going to be Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada from Wrestle Kingdom 11. So the first, or I guess the second, because it's after the draw in the G1.
So which one is that one?
The Wrestle Kingdom match.
Okay.
So the one from last January 4th.
So that'd be 12, because 13 just happened.
Correct. Did I do that right? Am I thinking,
I think so.
Right? Am I thinking of the right year? Hold on.
No, you're
not.
No,
I'm not. All right, then I'm going to go with my Almas Gargano. Sorry, I don't know why I wrote that down.
I got thrown into that same.
Whew, yeah, thing. God almighty.
Where I was thinking of, like, oh, there's so many, like, Okada Omega matches. And I'm like, wait, that wasn't.
Yeah,
that was previous year.
Yep. So yeah, NXT TakeOver Philly, night before the Rumble this year, Almas Gargano. There. Easy pick. All right, Tom, are you ready for the fun categories?
No.
Yes, he is. All right, so these are the categories we asked you to nominate. So let's start. If I can find where they start here. Da-da-da-da-da. There is it. There we go. I lost it. There we go. So for my buddy Noah's Ark 84 at Inlock 716 on the Twitter, the Please Just Stop It Award. Things you need people to stop doing in wrestling. Tom, what's the number one thing? Who wins the Please Just Stop It Award for you?
The Please Just Stop It Award.
I got mine if you need time.
Are we going with just generalized things?
Just whatever you want from
specific wrestling.
I think it can be whatever you want in pro wrestling. So, for instance, my plea is just stop an award goes to Kevin Dunn. Please stop zooming the camera in and out and shaking it all the time, you bucky-toothed beaver.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
See, because I was thinking of, like, could Bobby Lashley stop doing that thing with his ass?
That is one of the things that Noah's Ark nominated himself.
but probably overtaking that, since you mentioned Kevin Dunn, is crowd shots when important things are happening.
Oh,
like, and I know, okay. I know it's a production trick to, like, kind of almost miss big moves because we're hitting reaction or we're hitting something else, so that if a spot gets incredibly blown, we don't show it again. But if the spot actually works out, we can show it on replay. But it's incredibly frustrating to watch a match and stuff is actually happening, but we only care about this kid in, like, the 60th row who's just shocked at the fact that somebody didn't make the tag, or I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. All right, Tom, the next award is the Prop of the Year Award for our buddy Seth.
The Prop of the Year Award.
This is a tough one. He goes, think Mitch the Plant or the List, not the Universal title. You know, things that matter.
This is why I would have liked to view these a little bit beforehand. Maybe I should have done a little back work on them.
Man, Prop of the Year. Man, we did not have quite the year of the prop like we did in 2017 with Mitch the Plant and the List.
I mean, 2,000-pound steel steps are good.
Yeah, that's always a classic one.
Whenever anybody can lift up 3,000-pound steps, it's impressive.
I think there's only one thing that can win this, and I think you'll agree once I nominate it here. My award for Prop of the Year goes to Daryl the Cat.
Yes. Okay. Was that this past year?
I mean, he's always there.
Oh, yeah. He's got a family now.
Yeah.
Which is good to see.
Yeah. Daryl. I mean, Hiromu got a stuffed cat over. Come on. The Fabio / Pharaoh Award for Best Hair on a Superstar, male and female categories. I think the male award is an absolute, you cannot give it to anyone else but Hiroshi Tanahashi. AJ Styles, close second.
After Tanahashi cut his hair, though?
That's true. Short hair ace, not good ace.
Yeah.
But now that's, I mean, when it grows back in, though, that is a main.
Best hair obviously has to go to Sheamus.
Oh, all right. That's an off the board pick. That's a wild card, Tom. I like it.
You know, I like my ginger, so.
That's true. Who is your female pick for best hair?
I'm going with Becky because I'm scared of her, and I like my gingers again.
This is a tough one. I gotta go. Man, I don't know. There's a lot of good hair out there. I think best hair has to go to Asuka. It's the only award.
Yeah.
It's the only award I'll ever give her. But it's unique. It works with her character. It works with her gimmick.
The color works really well, too. It stands out. It's done really well.
Yeah. I think I have to give it to her.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I support that.
Finally, the Cheeto Award for worst spray tan. I think there's only, to me, there's only one person in the entire industry that qualifies here. And that is former CZW standout and now NXT referee Drake Wirtz. That's consistently.
Sorry. The winner for the 23rd straight year, despite not being an active wrestler anymore, is Taz.
Oh, yeah. All right.
When people cannot figure out your race, then you have a bad spray tan.
That's true.
And I mean, Taz was Jersey Shore orange at one time.
Yeah. He matched his logo.
It did. It looked like he was naked sometimes when he would wrestle.
Fun. Anything else, Tom? Kind of a short show to be as packed as it was.
I mean, we could talk about the dream I had. I dreamt that
this is is appropriate before this coming Monday. So go ahead, Tom. Tell us about your dream.
The Young Bucks were actually in the Royal Rumble. It was weird because I don't remember much about. I never remember dreams.
But the one you remember is the Young Bucks in the Royal Rumble. Tom, what music did they come out to?
I do not remember. I remember seeing them at the hotel for some reason because I was there, I guess. But they were introduced, and I can't comprehend. Again, it's a dream. So were they both introduced under one number? I don't know.
I mean, they are each half of a human size, so that would be fair.
But it was implied to me that it was just a one-shot deal for them to be in the Rumble, but they got a lot of money so that they could come there for the surprise aspect of it.
That would be cool as hell. I'd love that.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
To just kind of invite people. It's just a one-day thing, and you know, they're gone the next.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that they're actually, you know, they come in, they do the job because they don't work for the company. If you want to potentially work for the company, you know, then you can make yourself look better, but you come out there and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm down with that. All right, Tom, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go to the Twitter machine at Mr. Workrate, at MR Workrate. You can friend me again on the PlayStation Network. That issue has been clarified, but not on Xbox, though, because my son will not give me that machine back.
You can find me on Twitter at JC Bobbitt, JCBOBBITT, or you can find me wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter at CheatersNVRPin. You can find us on Instagram at CheatersNeverPin, and you can find us on Facebook to give us a big blue thumbs up and show us how much you like us. We're also available on your Roku devices, so you can listen to the show in the best room in your house. And if I can actually get back into a rhythm of doing it every day, which I think it may change. I think we may do like Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Friday mornings. Made a little bit more sense. A little bit easier for me. For the Cheaters Never Pin update, available on all your Alexa devices to get wrestling news as part of your flash briefing. You can add that at bit.ly/CNPflash, capital C, capital N, capital P, capital F. Or just go to your Alexa app and add it there. I think that covers it. Like, we're done for another week, Tom.
I'm just scrolling Twitter right now to see if anything breaking just happened.
It has not yet.
No.
Despite
the Slack channel. Just
making sure we're not missing any wrestling news, Tom. That's what you're doing.
I am. I'm looking at that, too. And
so we'll be back next week. I guess next week is our preview for the Royal Rumble. Because it is upon us. It is time for the road to WrestleMania, Tom. It's time to get aboard the Ultimate Thrill Ride. Or whatever the tagline is this year.
Yeah, we haven't heard a tagline. Well, I guess we hear it early. Officially after.
Yeah, after the Rumble.
Yeah.
during the Rumble. Yep. All right, so we're going to sign off for this week. Thanks for joining us, as always. I'm JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.